Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Every year for more than a decade, MoMA has put on a film series called The Contenders. It's a revisiting of some of the most innovative works released in the past year. This year, of course, is different. The Contenders series will go on, albeit virtually. The series began on December 10th and will run through February 28th and features critically acclaimed films like Miranda July's Cajillionaire, the documentary Crip Camp, and the recently released film The Midnight Sky, directed by George Clooney. With us now to walk through some of the lineup before this 13th annual Contender series is Chief Curator of Film at the Museum of Modern Art, friend of the show, Raj Roy. Hi, Raj.
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. I'm missing seeing you in person, but hopefully this time next year.
Absolutely. I so wish I was downtown, but greetings from MoMA. I'm actually in the building on 54th Street.
How does one take part in this year's series of The Contenders, someone who's interested in watching these films?
Yeah. So, we held on as long as I could to the hope that we would be able to welcome people back to our theaters. This time of year, we're welcoming people back to the galleries, but unfortunately not the theaters at this point. So we started work this summer on a virtual screening room. So MoMA's virtual cinema launched a couple weeks ago, and it is free and available to all members of the museum. So if you're not already a MoMA member, you can join by visiting MoMA.org and clicking right on the virtual cinema, and it'll take you right through. But we wanted this to be an experience for the fans, really, of the series. And those are primarily MoMA members coming out for, as you point out, over 10 years now.
How did the sort of dramatic nature of 2020 factor into your considerations of what films to feature?
Well, look, I mean, we all have been experiencing cinema in different ways since March. I just wrote a note to a friend who helped put out Parasite, which won Best Picture this year, which just is mind-blowing that is the same year as we're talking about right now. There will be benefits to this year. And one of those benefits is looking in places in the world, online certainly, that we haven't looked in the past for new work. And I think a lot of the voices that are emerging are folks that in a normal, quote unquote, year, we wouldn't have been highlighting at this point. And so in a way, it's a thrill for us to elevate those voices. One of them being Garrett Bradley. She's a new filmmaker, and her film Time opened the series a couple weeks ago. It's still available to stream on Amazon. And she's an artist we've been working with for a while now. And she actually has a new installation on view at MoMA called America. And so you can both see her virtually online and in person if you want to visit the museum.
You mentioned she directed the film. There are a lot of films directed by women in this series, in the screening series, The Assistant, First Cow, Cajillionaire, Dick Johnson is Dead, Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. And, you know, I want to play a clip for you. We had the director of The Assistant, Kitty Green, came on the show back in January. And she described her process of interviewing actual assistants when working on this film. Let's take a listen.
I was working on a project that was about consent on college campuses, actually. And so that was where that was kind of the genesis of it. And I was on a college campus when the Weinstein stories broke in the news. And I had a few friends that worked there. So I started calling them and speaking to them. And all of my colleagues and friends were all speaking about what was going on. And I kind of started there. So it was a couple of years ago, but it was... I spoke to a lot of people. I went all over the world, LA, Melbourne, Australia, London, New York.
Obviously, this film is mirroring everything we've heard in the news about Weinstein and various other people who have suffered sexual harassment at the hands of powerful men in the movie industry. What was it about The Assistant that made it an effective film following all of these real world occurrences?
I mean, I think what made it most powerful was that it took you outside of the headlines, right? Outside of all of the things that you might have thought you already knew about Me Too and, you know, all of the, you know, the terrible abuse, certainly at the hands of Weinstein in particular, and put it in a perspective of, you know, one young woman and her life in that, you know, in that situation. And, you know, I give Kitty a lot of credit for taking that approach. You know, sensationalism in these situations is usually the go-to, and she kind of went in the opposite direction, and it, I think it makes the story even more powerful.
My guest is Raj Roy, Chief Curator of Film at the Museum of Modern Art. We're talking about the Contenders series. What factors did you do you consider when you are creating the actual calendar and the schedule of what film's going to play when?
So, exactly. I mean, a lot of that has to do with just, you know, plain old logistics, right? It's like, when can we line things up? When can we get access to the creators, to the artists, to do the Q&As? And that's one thing that is different. So, you know, a lot of these films are available to stream on other platforms. What we hope makes our virtual cinema attractive to folks is it's like all in one place, right? You don't have to have 10 subscriptions. You just need one membership to MoMA. And with that comes our interviews with the artists. You know, something that I think has always set the Contenders apart for folks is that intimate moment when you can hear the dialogue, see the dialogue in the case of when we're on stage with filmmakers, artists, actors. And we've translated that into this virtual experience. So after you watch the film on MoMA's virtual cinema, you can watch a Q&A. And the great thing so far is that a lot of people who are watching the films online are staying for the Q&As as well. And I really encourage folks. I mean, I just did two the other day, one with Pedro Almodovar for his film, The Human Voice, and one with Spike Lee and Delroy Lindo, who I just heard won Best Actor at the New York Film Critics Circle for his role in The Five Bloods. And that conversation with Spike and Delroy, I have to say, is, you know, all-time great classic. So, you know, bringing that real MoMA spirit of what it feels like to be in the room here normally to the online experience.
There's a film that was unique, I would say, never, rarely, sometimes, always. It's a film that looks at one young woman's attempt to gain access to abortion, and it also has sort of a road trip feel to it. Let's take a listen to a clip from the film, and we'll talk about it on the other side. This is from Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always.
I saw you weren't at school today.
I went to the doctor.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What's wrong?
Girl problems.
Bad cramps.
Yeah.
I get those too. Pretty much run through a bottle of painkillers like every month.
Yeah, same.
Don't you ever just wish you were a dude?
All the time.
That film won the Special Jury Award for Neorealism at Sundance. And Raj, what made this film so striking to you?
Well, I think you can hear it in that clip, right? This is an incredibly real take on women's experience in access to healthcare, and in this case, access to abortion. And, you know, Eliza Hittman, the director, she really worked with these actors to put you in that situation, to put you in that kind of like, again, I'm, you know, this is a young woman from a rural area who doesn't have access to this healthcare. And what does it mean to try and seek that out on your own when society isn't there to get your back on that front? And I think by making it so real, using language that, you know, young women would use in this situation, and again, not sensationalizing it, is really what I think makes it so powerful.
Our listeners who've been listening for the entire hour, we just spoke for about 35 minutes to George C. Wolfe about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is the centerpiece selection for the Contenders this year. What does that designation mean, and why did you choose this film?
Well, look, I mean, the combination of talent on this film is just incredible, and listening to George C. Wolfe, who is a treasure of our city and our nation, translating August Wilson in this manner with Viola Davis, who just, you know, wait till you see her transformation. It is just mind-blowing. And Chadwick Boseman in, you know, his final on-screen performance that is transcendent in a way that, you know, those of us who have been fans of all his work might have expected him to do very well in this. But to do what he is able to do in this ensemble is again just something beyond any kind of expectation. You know, we put it as our centerpiece because we wanted to honor it in the same way we wanted to honor Garrett's film Time with the opening and Chloe Zhao's film Nomadland with our closing designation. It's just a way to highlight a things films a little bit more. But I have to say, at this exact moment, I am floating a little bit because not only are you know fans going to acknowledge this, the biggest, the most important movie fan in the world just released his favorite movie list of the year. And we have virtually all of those films in the contenders. And that, for me, is always the biggest stamp of approval. I bet you know who I'm talking about.
Mr. Obama's list. We've been
there
joking
around.
We've been joking around here. How, we're like, oh, that person was on our show. That person was on our show. That person was on our show. Same with the books. We're like, somebody get him a WNYC Mason Jar Radio stat.
It's
it just means you have excellent taste in films, and he has excellent
taste in films. It's always nice to be validated, but when you're validated by the president, you know, it does feel good. So.
My guest is Raj Roy, Chief Curator of Film at the Museum of Modern Art. We're talking about the Contenders film series. So this is sort of, it's not only a great film, but it's a feel-good film, and I mean that in the best way, the 40-year-old version by Rada Blank, who wrote, directed, stars in this feature about a woman who was a big hit playwright young and when she was very, very young, and she's been just trying to figure out who she is and can she do this again. I want to say this starts screening on December 22nd for folks who haven't seen it. What do you like about the 40-year-old version?
That it feels street in the best possible way of a 90s version of New York that I remember very well, even though it is a contemporary story. I mean, Rada and I had a great conversation that, you know, folks in view on the site, you know, she really wanted to bring that experience of being an artist in New York and the roller coaster it can be, right? This is a city where anything is possible, remains true. And I am, you know, firmly a believer in New York's ability to do that moving into the future. But the truth is the ladder can fall over, right? And you find yourself at the bottom rung all of a sudden. Or you realize that the ladder goes on a mile higher than you thought it did. And that's the kind of essence of her film. And Rada has, both as the director, writer, and main actor of the film, really captured lightning in a bottle on this one. She's an incredible talent, and great to see her begin to thrive again.
Let's take a listen to a clip from the 40-year-old version from Rada Blank.
Any more thought on what kind of play we want to write? Remember, if you put in nothing, it'll be nothing.
Like your career?
Remember this face? She was one of Spotlight Magazine's 30 Under 30 playwrights to watch. We watched, but where'd she go?
How are you?
Good.
Archie tells me you're teaching.
How's somebody who ain't had no real hit gonna tell me how to write a play? She ain't no Tyler Perry.
I did win a 30 Under 30 award. Yes, it was quite a couple of years ago.
That's from the trailer. I also want to say, I think a standout in that is, and I think his name is Peter Kim, who plays her agent.
She's got this incredible cast of folks who, we all know those folks in the city, mm-hmm. right? Like, we've all got our crew. And like, I was like, oh, yeah. That's he's part of my crew. Yeah. So, no, she really mapped out a portrait of the city that we miss right now. Let's face it. You know, there are certain elements that just aren't possible right now, including going to a live theater. But again, reminds me how important it is to bring that back as soon as we can, as soon as it's safe.
What foreign films are you jazzed about being part of the contenders?
You know, it's funny when things start to blur. I mean, and I think Parasite was a big part of that. You know, the first quote unquote foreign language film, international film to win Best Picture. So we have a film called Gunda, which basically has no dialogue at all, and that launches January 5th. It is a portrait of this incredible character and her family. And this character is a pig, and her family are her piglets. And it's her on a farm. So it's kind of a contemporary Charlotte's Web with no dialogue, but you really get to know this character, you know, everything she does, how she raises her family. And then, of course, this is a farm. And so her piglets are being raised for slaughter. And so it is also a really powerful tale about both nurturing the animals that care for us and feed us, but also a question about is this something we need to do in an era where, you know, vegetarianism and veganism is possible, is a viable lifestyle. Also another film, Minari, that's coming up in January by Lee Isaac Chung. This is a film that was made in the U.S., but is primarily in Korean and has an amazing Korean and Korean-American cast, and is a really powerful immigrant story. So again, it's not a quote-unquote foreign film, but in past mm-hmm. years, I think we would have thought because of the language, okay, well, this is, you know, again, something from the outside. It's about, you know, wrapping our arms around the global nature of cinema and the stories that we can tell, no matter where we are, in different ways.
There's a documentary called Feels Good, Ma'am, which MoMA members can screen starting in January 12th. And it takes a look at how a seemingly innocuous frog named Pepe became a symbol of far-right extremism. We had the film's producer, Giorgio Angelini, on the show. And this is what he had to say about the transformation of the symbol when he and the film's director, Arthur Jones, were on All of It. Let's take a listen.
The nature of 4chan, it's always very hard to tell, like, what is joke and what is real. But, of mm-hmm. course, what's hiding behind a lot of the jokes is a lot of pain and a lot of alienation. And the transformation of Pepe really is the story of, you know, it's a story that we're all familiar with in the longer history of white supremacy in America. You know, anyone who's familiar with, like, the work of someone like David Duke understands that that white supremacists and professional racists have always tried to ingratiate themselves with popular culture. And Pepe really just became a symbol of a certain group of people's alienation. And opportunists saw Pepe as a convenient tool for which they could recruit people with.
So Feel Good Man is, you know, it touches on quite a bit of politics. How did you folks decide you wanted to think about politics in film, especially given what 2020 was like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, clearly we want to, in a way, clear our heads of, you know, a lot of the noise. But this film felt urgent because it was about how the noise was created in the first mm-hmm. place, in a way, right? And you described it as a documentary, which is absolutely spot on. It is a documentary. But for me, it's also a horror film. Mm-hmm. And it involves some of the characters who have been the most horrifying in a way because they've been unknown, right? So we actually get to meet some of the guys in those basements that we always hear about who are perpetuating these memes, these white supremacist memes and stories and, you know, the falseness of so much of what people believe, the kind of birth of things like QAnon that happen in these chat rooms that, you know, we don't know. They're so anonymous that we don't know the actual humans behind it. And this is a way to kind of uncover that. So it is obviously political, but it is much more a human story. And again, for me, a human horror story of how these things can just explode out of control.
And remind people once again how they can take part in the Contenders.
So, it is free for anyone with a MoMA membership, and you can just click on and view a film at any time. These films are on the site for a limited time, mm-hmm. so the idea is catch it while you can, and again, like the series, it'll be available, and then we'll have a new offering every Tuesday and Thursday for folks, but all you have to do is visit MoMA.org, click on to join. If you like the member, it makes a great holiday gift.
Oh, there you go.
And then you still got time. And then it will run. And this will be, even when we are able to welcome people back into our theaters, it will be a new permanent feature of MoMA's offering.
Raj Roy, Chief Curator of Film at the Museum of Modern Art. Thanks for being with us, Raj.
My pleasure. Stay safe.
This is All of It.